This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man. Mike Bell, has there been any coaching changes in the last 2 minutes since we've come on the air?
Louise, I mean, I'm of a certain age where Notre Dame, I mean, still Notre Dame. You've seen him in the college football playoff. My dad was a huge Notre Dame fan. But the idea that LSU was a better job than Notre Dame 20 years ago, I don't know if that would have flown. But it sure is nowadays, huh?
Well, it helps when you're giving somebody $100 million.
Yes. I mean, that goes without saying, but
you know, aesthetically, I understand what you're saying. Like, right. Visually, Notre Dame is in our psyche, and we're talking about Brian Kelly guys going to LSU, which is obviously in the SEC, and all the coaching changes that are going on. But it's in our psyche, like, Notre Dame is that job, right? It's that elite place. Listen, it's still one of the great jobs in America. There's no doubt about that. Brian Kelly went to a place that most people didn't have success at, right. or didn't do what he did, and now he's moving on. But let's not fool ourselves. Any job looks much more attractive when you have $100 million attached to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. I know that I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a big LSU fan, my buddy Martin, and we were joking around. I said, yeah, I mean, Notre Dame is, you know, with the exception of the Lou Holtz years, pretty serious about academics, Carl, right, with the student athlete. Well, let's be honest, you could probably major in trucking at LSU. There's going to be a whole new opportunity for different types of student athletes that Kelly might not have been able to sneak into Notre Dame. That will not be an issue down there in Baton Rouge.
No, and here's the thing, guys. There's 23, all right? Now, most of these jobs have been filled. I'm going to tell you which ones haven't. Some of them you don't care about, but 23 changes in college football to date. I don't even know if we're done. I don't even know, like, if there might be another firing or somebody moving on between now and the end of the week. But when you talk about the elite powers, and this is what makes this unusual and unique, we've never had a year, okay, I think you got to go back to like the 40s or 50s, where Notre Dame and OU are changing coaches in the same year. Those jobs are open. But the jobs that have already been taken, I mean, think about it. Now LSU, Washington State was open, TCU, USC, Florida. I mean, this is like, what is going on?
Yeah. But Miami is right now, technically, they still have a head coach, but there's a lot of buzz down in Miami that Manny Diaz could get got as well.
By the end of the week, we could have three or four more jobs.
And the other thing, and this is a couple things just came up today on social media, because look, my attitude now is between name, image, likeness, and all the other things that players can do, and also with the transfer portal. You know, the oh, woe is me, coach just left us high and dry. I mean, I get it. What makes it so crazy is Notre Dame could be in the playoffs this year. Yeah. You know, there's a couple of scenarios, you and I have already laid them out, where Notre Dame could be in the playoffs. I got to be honest with you. I think, and I was trying to explain this to a guy on Twitter, I think the early signing period further exacerbates coaches leaving. Because if you are going to get this offer, I mean, again, you could have waited until February, right? January. Now you got a coach who's got to get ahead of it because the early signing period starts on, what, December 15th?
Well, remember, a lot of this also has to do with kids committing verbally, but not signing until December 15th. So let's just use, Lincoln Riley, who may have been recruiting two of the nation's top quarterbacks at Oklahoma, and all of a sudden now he makes this move. Well, you can assume that those kids are going to end up at USC. The same can go for Brian Kelly, who may have been recruiting a couple of quarterbacks at Notre Dame, and all of a sudden now they decommit. We've seen this happen. So, yeah, this matters. And I said to you a couple of weeks ago, these schools better figure it out, because you don't want to get caught with your hands tied and not knowing what where your coach is or who you're going with, and everybody else is recruiting around you. So, yeah, Mike, I do think it speeds up the process where coaches used to wait until when? After the season was over before they left.
So, Brian Kelly going to LSU, that's huge. Still don't trust Lane Kiffin to stay pat at Oxford, to be honest with you. Who's the next big, you know, what's the next big domino to fall?
What's his dream job, though, right? Where is the place that Lane wants to ultimately end up? I mean, let's be honest. He's been to USC.
Yeah, but no, I always thought the FAU thing was a precursor to get to Miami, but it just didn't time out.
Okay, because that's the thing about Lane. I'm with you. I think he would be on the move, but the jobs that are currently open, Virginia Tech just filled theirs. Okay, they're going with the DC for Penn State, Coach Pry. I don't think, Mike, he's interested in Fresno, Louisiana, okay,
no,
Temple,
no, I mean,
Troy.
Yeah,
these
I mean,
are the jobs that remain. I don't think he's interested in those jobs.
I mean, the only bigger jobs in Ole Miss are the better teams in the historically better teams in the West. LSU just got hired. Obviously, Saban's not going anywhere, at least not yet. Kirby, by the way, is going to get a galactic increase in salary because you saw the Brian Kelly contract. Chip Kelly may come east. There is some talk that Chip might want to get out of UCLA. That'd be another name. But I'm not sure how big his brand is because after a couple of stops and starts there, nothing really happening. And then, of course, there's the Urban Meyer thing. Now, matter of fact, Alan Newsom just hit us up on Twitter saying Urban Meyer said multiple times Notre Dame is his dream job. I mean, I don't know. You got to pay him at least $12 million, and that's what Shad Khan is paying him down in Jacksonville. I don't think the girl bumping her butt against him at a bar makes him unhirable, do you? Or
no.
The optics are awful for that? Because Notre Dame hired Lou Holtz, and Lou Holtz went there. Every school Lou Holtz coached at was on some form of NCAA probation when they hired him.
I agree. I don't think if that was the end of Urban Meyer, if he got fired at Jacksonville because of it, we said it at the time. We didn't think it was a fireable offense. Dumb? Yeah. But now, you don't fire a guy over that. Then he would be done. I don't believe that's the case. And if that is the dream job for Urban Meyer, then if you're Notre Dame, you got to pick up the phone and try and see if he's interested.
Right.
See, here's what I love about the LSU hire. This is what I love about the USC hire. They didn't settle for the up-and-coming guy, and I told Bo this today. I know they hired Billy Napier at Florida. LSU got a better coach. Right. Now, it doesn't mean that Napier won't win at Florida, but I always tell you guys, give me proven versus unproven. Brian Kelly's proven. Brian Kelly's won everywhere he's been. He's a hell of a coach, and maybe because we don't watch Notre Dame down here as much, he's done a hell of a job, man, and he knows what it takes to build the program. Napier is the hot commodity, and Florida's going with the come, right? They're going to bet on the come. But LSU got a better coach. He knows exactly how to build a program and where to take it, Mike, and how to win. And if you're telling me he's going to get better recruits at LSU, which we all think he is,
right,
it's only a matter of time before Brian Kelly wins a national championship there.
Napier does have the pedigree. Now, again, he's 42. He's younger. He's done well at his first chance to be a head coach. But he's been at some of the bigger programs. He's been there with Saban at Alabama as a wide receiver coach. He was with Jimbo at Florida State in the championship season. So he's been at Clemson back in the day.
You've got to run your own thing, though.
Checks all the boxes. I'm saying I'm not overwhelmed by Napier, but I'm not underwhelmed either. I mean, just Brian Kelly's, as you said, he's a proven entity. It's a whole other level, But again, it's still the SEC West for the foreseeable future. Saban is still there, but a guy like Kelly can come in and just do, again, LSU, I've always thought that until Ed Orgeron finally realized I can throw the football there, that's always got the talent. You just got to maximize it. They just didn't do that all the time, going back to DiNardo before Saban.
Yeah, and the fact that the AD there had the courage and the stones to say, you know what, we're going to call Brian Kelly. Everybody said Brian Kelly wasn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Think about USC. We're going to call Lincoln Riley. Why would he leave? Look what he's doing at Oklahoma. They're winning Big 12 championships. He's in the college football playoff. He's not going anywhere. You have to ask big. And that's the thing I respect about those hires is that they didn't settle. They just didn't go for the next hot guy. Oh, well, we've heard this guy. And again, no disrespect to Billy Napier. He may do a great job at Florida. But Lincoln Riley has already won and had his own thing and knows what that's about. And certainly Brian Kelly has. That's why I think those hires are money. I think they both got it right.
So where the hell is Luke Fickell going to go? The Notre Dame job just screams Luke Fickell because he's been there. He recruits that part. Now, Notre Dame, you recruit nationally, but the success he's had at Cincinnati, all the talk, they're talking about, well, his wife doesn't want to go here or there. Well, USC has already been taken. I mean, to me, Notre Dame just seems like a perfect fit.
Don't forget about Matt Campbell either, Mike.
But here's the thing, it's you go from sexy to just meh, in one season if you're not winning 10 games.
I know, but people will tell you that at Notre Dame, he will do a lot better, just like we're assuming because the players will be better. The facilities will be better. Everything will be better around him. And if he's as good as we think he is, he'll excel there. I think Matt Campbell's in the mix, but if you're going to tell me Luke Fickell doesn't have his pick of jobs that are now open, whether it's OU or Notre Dame or whatever his wife wants to do, I would tell you that you're wrong. I think absolutely he could sit back and say, here's where I want to go. Mike, he's about to take Cincinnati to the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Notre Dame is a perfect fit there. Of course, you got P.J. Fleck going, me, somebody hire me. I mean, what's his brand? He does well at Minnesota. As he goes climbs up higher on the ladder and higher profile, will he continue to have success? Fleck's name has been mentioned with a bunch of these jobs as well.
We're going to talk about what it means for Kirby. Mike mentioned it, but it's going to mean a lot more than that. And for Dawg fans, you should be excited about this because all of this movement and instability that we're seeing around college football is great for Georgia. Georgia's got everything intact, and their coach right now is thinking about how he can win an SEC championship game and a national title. Meanwhile, other schools are in transition. A lot of the big powerhouses. All right, we're coming back. We got plenty to talk about today. Chuck Smith's going to join us for his weekly visit, guys. Follow us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Porto Up. See Dukes. This radio show, Dukes and Bell 929, and follow this radio station at 929 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Pepto-Bismol. Making upset.
Oh, let's talk to our man Chuck Smith. More on the college football shuffle with coaching around the college football landscape. We'll get more about that coming up. But Chuck Smith, a Falcon win after two disappointing losses. But I think, Chuck, more than anything, we were surprised at how well we played up front on both sides of the football, offensively and the defensive line.
Man, I'm going to tell you, those guys really came out and competed. A credit to them. Look, that's the most important part. When the Falcons compete, play physical, you know, use the techniques that are taught, they're going to have success. You're 100% right, Carl. When you think about this team, when their front do have success, you know, they'll win games like they did versus the Jaguars.
You know, Chuck, we love the job that Grady does. I mean, are you surprised how well Grady is doing? Because we didn't know how he would fit in the 3, for they're finally getting to use him out of the edge. And do you like the way they're using Grady?
Man, I love the way they're using Grady, especially when they put that big sucker at defensive end. He's winning. Listen, Grady's having a good season. And the numbers, you know, sometimes lie. But to me, I love the way they're moving Grady around. I saw a lot of different pressures. But as far as Grady Jarrett specifically, man, I watched Grady play double teams this week. Listen, it was a science. I mean, it was a class. I mean, and think about it. They're going to double Grady every play. When you become getting that status like Grady, I think he's, a two-time pro bowler. Yes, you're going to get those kind of blocks. And I think Grady's also adjusting to Dan Pease's 3-4 defense. But remember, it's not always 3-4. They got components of 4-man pressures up there, 4-man fronts. So I love the way they're playing Grady. And kudos out to Grady also, because a few times I reached out to Grady and I told him, man, I have been you, meaning I have been the epicenter of the defensive line when, you know, you got a lot of young guys around you. And a credit to Grady, man, he's taking a leadership role off the field as well as doing this thing on the field.
It's Chuck Smith joining us here on Dukes and Bell. He does it on Tuesdays, Fridays, as we head back into the weekend, guys, getting you ready for college football, the NFL as well. Chuck, it's time to hand out some ballers and busters. I want to hear who you got.
Who performed well and who didn't? Chuck Smith's Ballers and Busters on Dukes and Bell.
Oh, there was a lot of ballers, a lot of busters around the league this last weekend. Chuck, where are you going? Where are you going?
I'm going to start out with the hometown, with the team, the ballers. The first one goes out to the entire Falcons team. And let me say one reason why. Guys, right now, they're in the hunt. They're in a playoff hunt. Let's be – huh?
I see you're right. Absolutely.
Think about it. I still say it's a rebuild, but this is a pretty good year for a rebuild. And especially when you look at the NFC, I mean, you got Washington at 5-6, Eagles 5-7, Giants are out of the way. 9-6-5, but think about it. Vikings have 5 wins. But look at the Falcons in the NFC South. 5 wins, of course, 5-6, Saints 5-6, and the Panthers. Listen, if the Falcons beat a couple teams that people don't expect, like Tampa, take care of their business against some of the scrubs out there that we can compete with, they're in the hunt. So if a baller goes out to the Falcons, man, keeping it interesting for the fan base and keeping their name in the national media's mouth. As much as they don't want to mention us, y'all, we're in their mouth as long as the Falcons keep staying around and they can get close to 500. All right.
Chuck, yeah, I mean, so, look, we're with you, brother. Right. So far, so good. Keep going.
I know. It's positive day, man. When you win, you get some love, right? Mm. All right. Shout out real quick. A baller goes out specifically to the Falcons front seven in the pass rush. Really active, particularly in the first half. Let me tell you one I'm going to give a baller out, and this is his first baller of the year, Dante Fowler Jr. All right, and let me tell you why. Not necessarily that he got a sack. It was a huge play, but the rush, the technique he used. He had a tight end on him. It was a play-action pass. He was expecting to play inside. Looks like he's going to be a C-gap player. He countered that, came outside the tight end, used his hands and used the signature pass for a side scissor move and got a sack. So for that, he gets a baller. And I'm also talking about Ogundeji. He did a good job. But also I've seen a Brandon Copeland sighting. He gets a baller. Jonathan Walters, he gets the opportunity. He's been doing some things. And one more baller, anytime I see that number 90, that new 9-0 to Rhino, Marlon Davidson in the mix, he's going to get a baller. So nonetheless, he got a fumble recovery. And also A.J. Terrell. Man, I'm loving that the national media is starting to give this kid some love, man. Mm-hmm. He's shutting people down. He's making plays. He plays well in man-to-man. He does great in coverage. And let me tell you something that I've seen that he does really well that no one's really talking about. The kid makes tackles. Now, it's hard as hell to make open field tackles in the NFL, but particularly A.J. Terrell gets a baller. Also, can't forget about the O-line. Big ups to Jake Matthews. I've been saying this since day one. He ain't an issue. Listen, I don't know what the analytics are, and I really don't care. I'm going to buy my visual analytics. He's doing a great job run blocking and pass protection. Jake Matthews, man, he should get some votes, I'm telling you, for the Pro Bowl. But nobody's going to vote for him. You know, there's a lot of Falcon haters out there. People, they're only going to reward the teams how it usually works a lot of times with the best records. But shout out to him. And baller goes out to the VFL. The MVP of this team is a Vol. Let me just say that again. The MVP of this team is Cordarrelle Patterson. And let me tell you what I like about him most. Let me give him a ball for this. You tell me another running back that we've seen in the recent years with the Falcons that hits the hole with the ferocity. Listen, when he comes downhill, he hits the hole like you want to see a guy hit the hole. Don't y'all think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we said it's like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, it just like meets Animal from the Muppet Show because it's elbows. It's one of those. Remember in high school, Carl, there was always a guy you never wanted to tackle in practice. He's that guy,
yeah.
You know, and he's the only running. He's the only running back with over 500 yards receiving as well.
All right. Well, you're right about that. Let me talk about another team that's running the ball. Have you guys watched the San Francisco 49ers O-line lately? Steamrolling defenses. Listen. They gave the Rams a two-piece. And then this past week, they gave Minnesota a three-piece smack across the head. And they're the catalyst, I'm telling you. When you watch them, and also as they've added Deebo Samuel in there, doing a little bit of the Cordarrelle Patterson type of thing, he's running the ball. But this Frisco, I'm telling you, and we just talked about the Falcons' ability to have success on O-line and D-line. That's why the Niners right now are on a three-game winning streak. And everybody wants to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo dropping the ball here on things and almost trying to blow it. But when you play physical and can run the ball and control everything like they've done, you'll continue to have success. Also, one baller out to the Green Bay defense. Let me jump into some – got a few quick busters, y'all. Man, I know the dream is real, but Cam Newton right now, it ain't real for the Panthers. And it's funny how he came out and said fairy tales don't always happen or something like that, he said, you know, when you come back and – you know, to me, this is a bad look. I mean, he's looked as bad as Sam Darnold on his worst day. And I feel bad for Cam a little bit because this was, you know, another opportunity. And he's still going to have another chance, right? I don't think they give up on him. But if this season goes the way it keeps going from an offensive standpoint, when you look at Carolina, guys, they got to get a quarterback. I mean, they gave up too much for Sam Darnold to really say that. But I think they made a mistake in that trade. Another buster goes out to Seattle. Listen, a lot of people had them as the team to get in to win the NFC. Ain't going to happen. Terrible right now. Pete Carroll got some issues. And the last one I want to talk about, guys, this was crazy. The Indianapolis Colts get a buster. At one point, listen, the Colts passed the ball on 27 straight plays. Mm. They got the best running back in ball right now in Jonathan Taylor. Think about that, man. Yeah. So nonetheless, it's just a mistake they're making. They're trying to make Carson Wentz into something he's not, and that's being a big-time playmaker. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Matt Ryan. So nonetheless, hey, real quick, I heard this little argument on that was on Twitter about Matt Ryan and Matthew Stafford. Dude, Matt Ryan is so much better than Matthew Stafford ever was. I can't believe – listen, this is a debate, man. This is something I saw on Twitter, man. I just saw it when I was looking at it. Shout out to Matt Ryan, man. Shame on them for putting Matthew Stafford in that conversation, man. He can't even win with the Rams super team.
Yeah, Rams have got a losing streak going back to Halloween, and he's still not won a playoff game. You're right. And by the way, kudos right. Chuck feels my pain, Carl. Jonathan Taylor was averaging over 5 yards a tote, and I was getting 3 points. I'm with you, Chuck, on the Colts thing, man. Bunch of bull.
Right. Well, and you know what? Frank Reich, I think he started running the ball too late. I mean, it got him back in the game, but if he would have been committed to the run earlier in the game, it might have been a different situation. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our man Chuck Smith joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, Chuck, I know we're going to preview this on Friday, but I just want to start to say this is a big game for the Falcons, man. When you start talking about being in the hunt, and I know, as said, the lows have been very low, but here Coach Arthur Smith, finding ways to get production out of guys. And I said, this guy's doing a hell of a job yesterday on the show, but here come the Bucks. Okay, remember the first game. We were getting back in the game, and then you had, you know, a catastrophe happen where you throw, you know, a tip ball gets picked six. It just went, I mean, it was crazy how that game played out. Chuck?
No, you're exactly right. But you know what's interesting? That's why you play the games, guys. Yep. Think about this. If anybody thinks that the Falcons have no chance, they're kidding themselves. And they get a buster, early buster for the next one if the Falcons are able to pull this off. But you know what? The Falcons have to play a perfect game. And the first thing it's going to start with is the physical part. They're going to try to out-physical the Falcons. Because Leonard Fournette, if you watch what they did last week, they basically came out and punching people in the mouth, you know? And the other part of it, the disguise. Dean Pease, to me, is going to be this week the most important person. How do you match up and scheme with the Falcons with some guys that are young, got some injuries, versus a Tampa offense that has Tom Brady that they've seen everything? So, you know, I think Dean Pease is going to be really important. But this week, Cordell Patterson got to be able to run the ball some. But listen, y'all, the Falcons can beat Tampa. Are you kidding me? We've seen Tampa drop the ball a couple games ago. So, I mean, look, Falcons. Oh, and let me say this out too, especially since the fans listen. I'm gonna need y'all to get in that game and sit down and make some noise. I'm gonna need y'all to quit complaining. Right. If you got season tickets, use them. If you want to get a one game walk up seat, go use them. And I don't work for the Falcons, but I need y'all to show up in the bins, man, and really make some noise and give the Falcons some sort of a home field advantage.
It's a big game. I mean, and if nothing else, it could be maybe the last time you'll see Brady. I know Brady thinks, I told Carl, Carl's going to play it. He's 50, Chuck, but you're right. It's a game, you know, I know there's so many guys on the fence, and it's a weird dynamic because this team isn't where you want it to be yet. We've given up trying to explain the cap ramifications and the roster. So real quick, I know you got a jet, but because Richie Grant and guys like Darren Hall, they weren't factors in that first Tampa game, can these guys, I mean, I know you were saying that Tom might pick at these guys, but can the rookies help in this game?
Well, the rookies can help if the pass rush helps. This is a game where we have to have our veterans, Grady, Dante, all the guys up front, Anthony Rush, you got to shut down the run. We're going to need Ogundeji doing this thing. Brandon Copeland, it's time to put your big boy pants on and do some things against a championship team. This is the kind of team that you want to play against when you're a young buck. Like if you Ogundeji, go in there, man, and do your thing. Make people come out that game and say, wow, the Falcons have some young gunners and they're developing, but – if the back end's going to win, this week is all about stopping the run, and you got to beat Tom Brady up.
Get us out of here, Chuck.
All right, let's live life every day like it's 3rd and 8. Let's go, Falcons. Let's roll.
There it is. Chuck Smith, guys. He'll stop back by on Friday. We'll talk about the keys. We'll look up front, see how they may attack us, because a lot of things have changed since the last time we saw this team. It is a big game. It's a big game. Hey, coming up, though, we'll hit some headlines. Coaching changes everywhere. It's Dukes and Bell.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Oh, big shout out to Chuck Smith for stopping by. 3:20, we'll go behind enemy lines and talk to our buddy down in Tampa, Rick Stroud, guys. And Bryce Kuhn, who covers Georgia Tech, is going to join us at 4 today. So lots of college football conversation on the way. In the 5 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Danny Cannell, get his thoughts about all the movement around college football. Hey, let's hear from Arthur Smith talking about getting ready for the Buccaneers on Sunday.
There's a different set of challenges. It's a talented football team. They've won a lot of games the last 2 years. They got some good veteran players, including, you know, arguably the best quarterback to play. So we got to be ready to go. And guys should be excited. It's a big divisional game for us on Sunday here. So looking forward to the challenge. Good opportunity for us.
We are too. Mike, the thing that Coach said yesterday, I guess I was waiting to hear him say, is that Calvin Ridley might be back. No update on Calvin Ridley. And I know it's something you brought up yesterday to talk about and how much better of a football team we are. Coach was on with Dave Archer last night. He'll be on with us tomorrow for the coaches segment at 5 o'clock. But no news to report there. And going into another Tampa game, I'm going, man, it'd be nice. But I guess that's not going to happen, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have been going round and round on this. And as we said yesterday, and I'll say it again because I don't want people to get on my ass on this one, but you know, we don't know where Ridley's at, and we want him to be, you know, the best he can be, and we want him to be happy, and we want him to be healthy. But it's just purely the X and O's. These are games now. All of a sudden, as crazy as it sounds, and Chuck Smith just laid it out, there's some winnable games here. Now, I don't know how many people feel the Bucs game is winnable. One thing is true. They've proven, Carl, they can, you know, they can look as human as anybody, right? And we've had them on the ropes. They had us down 21-7. We came back and we were down 3 points, and then we threw two pick sixes. That game in Tampa was still one of the craziest. But regardless, having Calvin Ridley, and you saw it against Jacksonville, there's times when Kyle Pitts can be taken out of our offense without having another playmaker step up. So I just I'm a little irked. And again, I know that I've got to stop being the selfish sports fan and look at the big picture, but damn, I want Ridley out there, man.
I know. I mean, but we have every right to be the selfish sports fan, especially when it's your team and this is the team you support. And, you know, that I think you have the right to do that. But I also think we have to put it in perspective where we want him to be the best person he can be with whatever he's dealing with and come back, you know, completely ready to roll. And so that's where this is. But with that said, I only put that out there to say it's Tuesday. I'm not thinking that Ridley is going to be back Sunday. So my mindset is there. Whatever you are going to get, you're going to get with the guys that are here. And Ridley's not going to ride up on a horse and say, hey, all right, I'm ready to catch 10 balls for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns on Sunday. I don't see that happening. So my mindset, Mike, I'm trying to get my mind right for this as we go into preparation for the Sunday matchup. Hey, Coach, tomorrow, 5 o'clock. Hey, let's talk about Lincoln Riley. Here he is talking about leaving Oklahoma.
I think it would not be fitting for me to recognize the University of Oklahoma, the impact that it had on me, the people there. This was obviously, I told the team earlier, toughest decision of my life to come here. And it's those people there were tremendous to me. And so, thank you. I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful for my time here. That's one of the best college football programs in the country and has been forever and will continue to be. So very thankful for my time here.
Yeah, listen, it's hard to leave when you've had that kind of success, when you have those relationships, but sometimes you need something different. Sometimes you need a new challenge. Right. And I'm cool with that. I've always been a guy that has been able to say it's time for a new challenge, time to do something different. I totally get it. But this is going to be interesting to see how it shakes out, Mike. And guys are already hitting us up on social media saying, hey, I think Billy Napier is going to be the best coach. I think Brian Kelly won't work. I think Lincoln Riley made a mistake. Guys, time will tell.
Hey, Lincoln Riley's resume of all the guys there. No, I know Oklahoma has not dotted the I. And I just like, you know, Kirby's still got to, you know, get that championship and beat his mentor, Nick Saban. But to have back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners, to be consistently in that, you know, in that playoff, looking as good as they. Again, this year was strange, and they finally figured out their quarterback situation. But, you know, now one thing about USC, their calling card was always, obviously, you know, Ronnie, it was tailback you, and of course the great defense, the Ronnie Lotz of the world, all the way to the Clay Matthews. Yeah. Are they going to get that persona back? So I'm
Troy
very
Polamalu.
Curious.
Yeah,
yeah,
you're
I'm
right.
Curious to see what his staff is going to look like, because that was always USC was on both sides of the ball, right?
It's true, Mike. But that gets back to recruiting, right?
Right.
I mean, California is in a sense like Florida and Texas. You keep a majority of those kids home if you can, and you give them a reason to stay. USC for many years was the professional team in California. It was.
Right.
And
right.
So now that the NFL is back, you know, when USC is good, Southern California is buzzing. And I think you have that potential, but it gets back to the recruiting side of things with Lincoln Riley. That's a great point, though. It was a lot more to it than just, you know, all the great running backs that came there. Hey, Tiger Woods spoke today, guys. I was mesmerized. I'm not going to lie to you, because I wanted to hear. It's the first time he's spoken since this accident. But he said a lot of things. But this, to me, put it in perspective for everybody around the world who says, oh, he'll make it back. Look at all the things he's been through. He'll be another champion again. He'll win again. Tiger Woods is like, slow your roll.
I don't have to compete and play against the best players in the world to have a great life. I know that after my back fusion, I had to prove it to myself. I had to climb Mount Everest one more time. I had to do it, and I did. This time around, I don't think I'll have the body to climb Mount Everest. And that's okay. But I can't participate in the game of golf. I can still, maybe if my leg gets good enough, maybe click off a tournament here or there. But as far as climbing the mountain, get all the way to the top, I don't think that's a realistic expectation of me.
It's going to be so difficult for a guy, you know, the greatest of the greats, you know, to be able to get his head around that. And that's maybe why we've waited for a while. This is an event that he's involved with in Bahamas. That's why we're getting this press conference now. But he said he's lucky to be alive, lucky to have his leg, you know, could have lost it. Kind of referred the media to the police report. Didn't really get too specific answering questions about the accident itself. But, I mean, the next chapter would be the senior tour. Now, the senior tour doesn't obviously have the juice like we're used to with the pro tour. But, you know, he'll still have a chance to compete at that level. But, Carl, it hurts. I'm with you. I listened to a little bit of it today. We love Tiger Woods, and it hurts to know that he's never going to pass Jack Nicklaus. That's kind of what I got from this today.
I did, too. I mean, you're right. And that's why the two things that stood out to me were, one, he said that amputation of his leg was real. That was on the table. And I don't know if anybody knew that. That, you know, the severity of this accident was one thing, but when you start talking about, they were talking about taking his leg, and then, guys, I will not be able to be at a champion level again. He is telling, how hard is that for this guy to say that?
I know.
So, Mike, I'll just take what he can give us, but that is so disheartening, knowing just a few years ago he's walking down the, you know, the 18th hole at the Masters, and everybody said, wow, what a moment, this would never happen again. And to think, okay, he may win three or four more majors, and then right. Boom. So, yeah,
I mean, but just the magic of the Tour Championship, and then to be at the Masters, anybody who's lucky enough to be at the Masters for Tiger's final Masters win, now it sounds like unbelievable. But that was something I just wanted to remember. We joked around. Who was it? Tommy Mott came on. Remember, you and I were gushing about Tiger. And I'm not bagging on Tommy, but we call him Hot Take Tommy because he was filling in for Chuckry that night. And he goes, and I don't understand these guys' obsession with Tiger. It's over. He'll never win another major. And of course, Tiger goes and does it. But, you know, now, of course, the physical breakdowns and all the things that have happened. I read that Tiger book that Armin Katayan co-wrote. Like, I'm still a huge Tiger Woods fan, but to hear in his own words that, you know, he's never going to pass Jack Nicklaus, you know, but hey, he's lucky to be alive. So
no doubt.
Happy for that.
Headlines brought to you by ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down. Call ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. More on Brian Kelly leaving for LSU. 10 years, $95 million for Brian Kelly to leave Notre Dame. We're going to talk more about that. NFL Blitz is on the way, and we'll go behind enemy lines with Rich Stroud coming up at 3:20. But hey, guys, while we're talking about college football, I do want to remind you that Dog Nation invites you to be on their cruise, Dog Nation Cruise 2022. Join the team, guys. Brandon Adams, Mike Griffith, Jeff Sintel, and others. Georgia fans, celebrate the 2021 season on board Royal Caribbean's Independence of the Seas Dog Nation Cruise. It takes place April 25th. That's next year. Returns April 29th. All right? You want more information? Make sure that you check this out. Visit dognation.com for more information and learn how you can reserve your spot. We'll come back. NFL Blitz next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.